So today we will be studying from Canto 4 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Our focus will be on chapter 30, which is called as the activities of the Prachetas. We will be discussing texts 39-40. Canto 4, chapter 30, texts 39-40.
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवतीर्नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः.
So text 39-40. We'll read text 39 and I'll read 40 myself. Okay. So we'll read text 39 and repeat together.
यन्न स्वदितं गुरव प्रसादिता यन्न स्वदितं गुरव प्रसादिता विप्राश्च वृद्धाश्च सद् अनुवृत्त्या विप्राश्च वृद्धाश्च सद् अनुवृत्त्या आर्यानताः सुहृदभ्रातरश्च आर्यानातः सुहृदो भ्रातरश्च सर्वाणि भूतान्यनसूययैव सर्वाणि भूतान्यनसूययैव यन्न स्वदितं गुरव प्रसादिता प्राश्च वृद्धाश्च सद् अनुवृत्त्या आर्यानाता सुहृदो भ्रातरश्च आर्यानातः सुहृदो भ्रातरश्च सर्वाणि भूतान्यनसूययैव यन्न स्वदितं गुरव प्रसादिता विप्राश्च वृद्धाश्च सद् अनुवृत्त्या आर्यानताः सुहृदो भ्रातरश्च आर्यानातः सुहृदो भ्रातरश्च सर्वाणि भूतान्यनसूययैव
There is a text 40 also, I'll read that myself.
Yannasutaptam tapayetadisha నిరందశాం కాలం అదబ్రమప్సు సర్వం తదేతత్ పురుషాస్య భూమ్నో వృణీమహేతే పరితోషణాయ.
యత్ వాట్ న బయస్ స్వదితాం, సారీ స్వదితం స్టడీడ్ గురవః సుపీరియర్ పర్సన్స్ స్పిరిచువల్ మాస్టర్స్ ప్రసాదితాః సాటిస్ఫైడ్ విప్ర ద బ్రాహ్మణస్ చ అండ్ వృద్ధా దోస్ హు ఆర్ ఎల్డర్లీ చ అండ్ సద్ ఆనువృత్యా బై ఆర్ జెంటల్ బిహేవియర్ ఆర్యః దోస్ హు ఆర్ అడ్వాన్స్డ్ ఇన్ స్పిరిచువల్ నాలెడ్జ్ నతా వేర్ ఆఫర్డ్ అబేసెన్సెస్ సుహృద్ ఫ్రెండ్స్ భ్రాతర బ్రదర్స్ చ అండ్ సర్వాణి ఆల్ భూతాని లివింగ్ ఎంటిటీస్ అనసూయాయ వితౌట్ ఎన్వీ ఏవ సర్టన్లీ యత్ వాట్ న ఆఫ్ అస్ సుతప్తం సివియర్ తపః పెనాన్స్ ఏతత్ దిస్ ఈశ ఓ లార్డ్ నిరందసాం వితౌట్ టేకింగ్ ఎనీ ఫుడ్ కాలం టైమ్ అభద్రం ఫర్ అ లాంగ్ డ్యూరేషన్ అప్సు విదిన్ ద వాటర్ సర్వం ఆల్ తత్ దాట్ ఏతత్ దిస్ పురుషస్య ఆఫ్ ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్ భూమ్నః ద మోస్ట్ ఎగ్జాల్టెడ్ వృణీమహే వీ వాంట్ దిస్ బెనెడిక్షన్ తే ఆఫ్ యూ పరితోషణాయ ఫర్ ద సాటిస్ఫాక్షన్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్: డియర్ లార్డ్, వీ హ్యావ్ స్టడీడ్ ద వేదాస్, యాక్సెప్టెడ్ అ స్పిరిచువల్ మాస్టర్ అండ్ ఆఫర్డ్ రెస్పెక్ట్ టు బ్రాహ్మణస్, అడ్వాన్స్డ్ డివోటీస్ అండ్ ఏజ్డ్ పర్సనాలిటీస్ హూ ఆర్ స్పిరిచువలీ వెరీ అడ్వాన్స్డ్. వీ హ్యావ్ ఆఫర్డ్ అవర్ రెస్పెక్ట్స్ టు దెమ్ అండ్ వీ హ్యావ్ నాట్ బీన్ ఎన్వియస్ ఆఫ్ ఎనీ బ్రదర్ ఫ్రెండ్స్ ఆర్ ఎనీ వన్ ఎల్స్. We have also undergone severe austerities within the water and have not taken food for a long time. All these spiritual assets of ours are simply offered for your satisfaction. We pray for this benediction only and nothing more. Purport: as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Samasiddhir Haritoshanam, the real perfection of life is pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedaischa Sarvair Aham Eva Vedyah. In understanding the Vedas, one has to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who has actually understood Him surrenders unto Him after many, many births. We find all these qualifications in the Prachetas. They underwent severe austerities and penances within the water and they did not take any food for a very long time. They practiced these austerities not for material benediction but for the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. One may engage in any business, material or spiritual, but the purpose should be the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This verse presents a perfect picture of Vedic civilization. People training to become devotees should be respectful not only to the Supreme Personality of Godhead but also to those who are elderly in knowledge, who are Aryans and actual devotees of the Lord. An Aryan is one who does not boast. An Aryan is one who does not boast but is an actual devotee of the Lord. Aryan means advanced. Formerly, those who claimed to be Aryans had to be devotees of the Lord. Prabhupada says, formerly those who claimed to be Aryans had to be devotees of the Lord. For instance, in Bhagavad Gita 2.2, Krishna chastised Arjun by saying that he was speaking like a non-Aryan. Sri Bhagavanu Vacha, Kutastva Kasamalam Idam Vishame Samu Pastitam Anarya Justam Asvargyam Akriti Karam Arjuna. The Supreme Bhagavan said, "My dear Arjun, how have these impurities come upon you? They are not at all befitting a man who knows the progressive values of life. They do not lead to higher planets, but to infamy." Arjun, the Kshatriya, was refusing to fight despite being directly ordered by the Supreme Lord. He was thus chastised by the Lord as belonging to a non-Aryan family. Anyone who is advanced in the devotional service of the Lord certainly knows his duty. It does not matter whether his duty is violent or non-violent. It does not matter whether his duty is violent or non-violent. If it is sanctioned and ordered by the Supreme Lord, it must be performed, whether violent or non-violent, as long as it is sanctioned by the Lord. An Aryan performs his duty. It is not that the Aryans are unnecessarily inimical to living entities. The Aryans never maintain slaughterhouses and they are never enemies of poor animals. The Prachetas underwent severe austerities for many, many years, even within the water. Accepting austerities and penances is the avowed business of those interested in advanced civilization. The word nirandasam means without food. Eating voraciously and unnecessarily is not the business of an Aryan. Rather, the eating process should be restricted as far as possible. When Aryans eat, they eat only prescribed eatables. Regarding this, the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9.26, Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tad aham bhakti upakritam asnami prayatatmanah. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. Thus, there are restrictions for the advanced Aryans. Although the Lord himself can eat anything and everything, he restricts himself to vegetables, fruits, milk and so on. This verse thus describes the activities of those who claim to be Aryans.
Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Dadati Svapadantikam Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yatkripatam Mahamvande Sri Guru Dinatarinam Vanchakalpataru Bhyascha Kripasindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Dear Lord, we have studied the Vedas, accepted a spiritual master and offered respect to Brahmanas, advanced devotees and aged personalities who are spiritually very advanced. We have offered our respects to them and we have not been envious of any brother, friends or anyone else. We have also undergone severe austerities within the water and have not taken food for a long time. All these spiritual assets of ours are simply offered for your satisfaction. We pray for this benediction only and nothing more. So we are nearing the end of this particular canto 4. The title is Activities of the Prachetas. So up until now we have seen a very long series where Narad Muni was determined to deliver Maharaj Prachina Barhi. Okay, though he was himself here and there, little bit of karma kand, little bit of everything. But Narad Muni wanted Prachin Bhari to focus. So he told him, narrated the entire pastime of Puranjana so that Prachin Bhari can become detached from this material world. And then the whole focus again shifts back to Prachina Barhi's sons, the Prachetas. Before the Puranjana pastime, the Prachetas had met Lord Shiva, right? And then what had happened at that time, they had been given prayers, Rudra Geet, which had purified them immensely. So, having heard that they performed severe penances within the water, not only Lord Shiva was very pleased with them, but Lord Narayan was also so pleased with their sincerity and their devotion that Lord Narayan came on Garuda Viman and then gave them darshan. Not only did Lord give them darshan, but most importantly, Lord gave them instructions. He gave them instructions to enter Grihastha Ashram, to marry, and then manage the kingdom, and at the right time, he blessed them by saying that you will come back to my spiritual abode. So the Prachetas are feeling intense gratitude for Lord Narayan, and the Prachetas are reciprocating with the instructions of the Lord by praying to the Lord as an expression of their heart filled with gratitude. They are seeking the Lord's blessings so that with the Lord's blessings they may then execute the duties that have been ordained by the Lord for them. So there are several themes that are coming in Srila Prabhupada's purport here. It's a long purport we read today. So the first and foremost theme that comes is Samasiddhir Haritoshanam. Atapumbir Dvija Shrestha Svarnashrama Vibhagashah Sva Anushthisthasya Dharmasya Samasiddhir Haritoshanam. This comes in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where at the very outset it is said that the purpose of following Varnashrama Dharma or any form of religion is ultimately the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. It is also said, Dharmasva Anushthita Pumsam Vishvaksena Kathasuyaha Na Utpadeyadi Ratim Shramayevahi Kevalam. Whatever activities that we do, as long as it does not produce rati, na utpadiyed, it doesn't produce ratim, yadi ratim, shramayevahi kevalam. It's a useless labor. It's a useless waste of time. So whatever activities, whatever austerities, whatever penances, whatever philanthropic work, whatever that we do, at the end of the day, it should be pleasing to the Supreme Lord. If that is not there, then that activity is of no use. No matter how many medals the material world may give us for performing those activities, it doesn't matter. So that is something that Srila Prabhupada is trying to communicate at the very outset in his purports. Then we also see from the dialogue that the Prachetas are having with Lord Krishna, in their prayers, we see the kind of respect that they are showing to everyone around them. They are actually telling the Lord, Lord, if you see, we have given respect. They are actually giving a progress report, if you like, to him, saying that, Lord, we have tried to be very respectful to the elderly people. We have been very respectful to the devotees. So this section, in one sense, demonstrates the character of the Prachetas. And Prabhupada, in his purport, says towards the conclusion that this verse describes the activities of those who claim to be Aryans. So obviously, it's very evident that Srila Prabhupada considers the Prachetas to be Aryans. So, what are the qualities of an Aryan here, as given by Prabhupada here? Prabhupada says an Aryan is not boastful. Obviously, a devotee, then amongst the 26 qualities of a devotee, one of the qualities is what? To be humble. Okay. So, to be unassuming about oneself, not boastful about one's activities. Prabhupada has also given several examples. If one is boasting, it is like the croaking of a frog. The snake comes, the snake of Maya comes and eats when one boasts about oneself. So, as devotees, we are continuously trained by senior devotees and Srila Prabhupada's instructions and instructions of senior acharyas that we don't talk much about our achievements. In fact, it's interesting. Brahmaji, throughout the world, he is known to be the creator. If anyone says, who is Brahma? Creator. Vishnu, maintainer. Shiva, Rudra, destroyer. That's what everyone understands. But when Brahmaji is asked this question by Narad Muni, who is the creator? Brahmaji says, not me. There is somebody else who has created everything. He has given the material ingredients, the bill of material, the manufacturing process, assembly instructions, everything he has given. And the intelligence to do it he has given. The ability to do it also he has given me. So therefore, I am doing nothing. I am just following his instructions. So therefore, that is the quality of an Aryan. Not boastful. Understanding very well where abilities, ingredients, everything come from. Then another quality of an Aryan is, Prabhupada says, an Aryan is advanced in devotional life. He is an advanced devotee of the Lord. So Uttamadhikaris, Aryans, head of society, must be Aryans. Prabhupada is, we will talk more about that as we go along. An Aryan is one who knows one's duty. Okay. Prabhupada writes very interesting point here. He says that it doesn't matter whether your duty requires some violence or non-violence. You still have to perform it as long as it is sanctioned by the Supreme Lord. A good example of, you know, of some amount of violence is the service of controlling the Jagannath Rath Yatra cart, you know, people from, you know, coming under the wheel. So we have to have people who are standing there and say, Prabhuji, don't come, like that. Obviously a devotee should not get offended, you know. Prabhuji, how can you tell, you know, I am 25 years in this congregation, you know, you don't know who I am. No, right? So we have to respect that. So in Janmashtami, for example, all our boys, they do a lot of services here to control the crowd. It's not easy doing that job. No, everyone wants to go ahead. So for special darshan, right? Everyone wants to, you know, nobody wants to go up like that and come from the queue down. Everyone wants to directly come and enter here, right? So therefore, somebody has to stand who has to not think about their image in the congregation. They have to do what is rightful, whatever has been instructed by the authorities. They have to maintain order. So to some extent, sometimes when people don't listen, they'll have to speak up. Okay, in one sense, that's a devotees obviously do not punch anyone. Okay, but at least we speak up and tell, Prabhuji, Mataji, please. At least that much we have to tell. Okay, because why? Because it is ordained, that is required to maintain order. Okay. If everything is service, okay, Bhavantu, yeah, Prabhuji, wherever you can go from, wherever, Prabhu, you come from here, you come from there, and another fellow will come. Prabhuji, you also go. Then he'll say, why you allowed him? Oh, no, I allowed him, you also come. If you do that, then what will happen? There'll be total chaos and anarchy. So therefore, a leader has to know when to assert himself and when to exception approvals. Okay. So it has to be absolutely clear. So a leader has to be predictable also in his or her behavior. So for that, one has to have an absolute understanding of what is one's duty and why one is doing that particular duty. But whatever one's duty must be, the way in which it must be executed is that it must be samasiddhir haritoshanam. It must please the Supreme Lord. Okay. Of course, we don't even become unduly aggressive. Sometimes what happens, the moment we get some power, finished. You know, the moment we are told, you will coordinate Guru Maharaj's visit, finished. Something, suddenly some ghost comes inside the body. People start walking suddenly with some, Maharaj has told me, like that. So then start, you know, pounding on everyone else, pushing your authority, as if we are Maharaj, like that. Right? So therefore, we have to know how to handle authority. That is Aryan. Aryan means who knows how to handle authority, because the Lord is giving that authority to us. So we better not displease anyone when we get authority. At the same time, we are not, you know, too servile such that the mission is gone. But we are a good man for everyone. That is also a sign of false ego. Being popular, wanting to be popular in the congregation, wanting to be known as a good man is also a sign of false ego, because the center of that is me. I want to be. So therefore, Prabhupada says, doesn't matter, violent, non-violent, know your duty, execute it. Lord must be happy. Then further, qualities of an Aryan, Prabhupada says they are non-violent to even the animals, to the innocent animals. It's not that they are only, you know, specifically non-violent to select sections of society. No. Or specific people who speak a specific language, caste, creed, no. They are non-violent to anyone. Then finally, Prabhupada says they have control over their belly. They know what to eat, how much to eat. Okay. So less indulgence. They are very selective in what they eat, and they are very measured in what they 8. So many conversations, Prabhupada, so many aspects of Aryans, Prabhupada is bringing in this purport. No, so I was reading up a conversation, morning walk of Srila Prabhupada, November 1975. Srila Prabhupada is walking ahead and his good friend, it is very humorous. Whenever he talks to Dr. Patel, I specifically enjoy those conversations. Dr. Patel is always leading Prabhupada to something. Sometimes Prabhupada gets, he's very heavy on him. Okay, so Dr. Patel is in a conversation with Prabhupada. One of the devotees, Yashomati Nandan Prabhu, is also going in that walk. So he hears this conversation. Yashomati Nandan Prabhu says, I've just concised this. There's a very long conversation. Obviously, we don't have time, but I've just given the gist of it. Yashomati Nandan Prabhu says, Prabhupada, it appears that we came to Krishna consciousness even though we were at a very low stage. Yashomati Nandan Prabhu is saying like that. So Prabhupada is saying, yes, that is the process. Even uncivilized men are welcome and they become civilized in this process. So then, Dr. Patel is hearing that. Now obviously he has to contribute something. He speaks in between always when Prabhupada is speaking. So Dr. Patel is saying, but Prabhupada, first we have to define what is civilization. So Srila Prabhupada said, civilization means advance from animal life, not junglies. Anyone who knows Hindi will appreciate this. In Hindi we have a word called jungli. Jungli means, what do you say? Someone who is very uncouth, no manners, nothing, does anything from the jungle. Like that. It's called jungli in Hindi. Right? So Prabhupada used that word. Prabhupada said, civilization means advance from animal life, not junglies. So then, because Prabhupada said about civilized life, Dr. Patel is now again adding something in between. Prabhupada saying, yes, Prabhupada. Civilization is spread all over from South America to, he wanted to tell where. Prabhupada said, stop. Prabhupada said, that may be family lineage. But Aryan means one who is advanced in civilization. What you are talking about is, because obviously, the question, the discussion came to Aryans, advanced civilization. So he started saying from South America and this I have seen. Prabhupada stopped him and said, that may be family of Aryans. It's like saying, we say Brahma Bandhu, like that. It may be family lineage, but Aryan means one who is advanced in civilization. And Prabhupada quoted the Taittiriya Upanishad. Prabhupada said, one who is God conscious and whose standard is to understand God and go back to Godhead. I repeat, Prabhupada said, Aryan means one who is God conscious and whose standard is to understand God and go back to Godhead. And then Dr. Patel again intervened. Dr. Patel said, Prabhupada, but they say that the cradle of Aryan civilization is near the North Pole. Srila Prabhupada said, they may say, we don't say. They may say, we don't say. Civilization means they must live in a nice place like India. Not rejected tracts of land. So that's very funny. Okay. Then Dr. Patel, he didn't give up. He continued stubbornly. He said, today the world is dominated by Aryans all over practically, except in Central Africa. He's saying everywhere else there are Aryans. Who? Dr. Patel. Now you can imagine Prabhupada's blood pressure must have gone up there. Srila Prabhupada. So he said, today the world is dominated by Aryans all over practically. Srila Prabhupada said, no. Today the world, whole world is dominated by demons. When demons take to God consciousness, they too can become Aryan. And when Aryans lose God consciousness, they can become demons. It is the culture of God consciousness. It is the culture of God consciousness that differentiates. And Prabhupada said, yasya yal lakshanam proktam pumso varna bhivyanjakam yad ಅನ್ಯತ್ರಾಪಿ ದೃಶ್ಯೇತ ತತ್ತೇನೈವ ವಿನಿರ್ದಿಶೇತ್. ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ್ ಕೋಟೆಡ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ 7.11.35. ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಅ ಕಾನ್ವರ್ಸೇಷನ್ ಬಿಟ್ವೀನ್ ನಾರದ್ ಮುನಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಯುಧಿಷ್ಠಿರ. ಸೊ ಇಟ್ ಸೇಸ್, ಇಫ್ ಒನ್ ಶೋಸ್ ದ ಸಿಂಪ್ಟಮ್ಸ್, ಇಫ್ ಒನ್ ಶೋಸ್ ದ ಸಿಂಪ್ಟಮ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಬೀಯಿಂಗ್ ಅ ಬ್ರಾಹ್ಮಣ್ ಕ್ಷತ್ರಿಯ ವೈಶ್ಯ ಆರ್ ಶೂದ್ರ, ಇಫ್ ಒನ್ ಶೋಸ್ ದ ಸಿಂಪ್ಟಮ್ಸ್ ಆಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಡ್ ಅಬೌವ್, ಆಬ್ವಿಯಸ್ಲಿ ಇಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಬೀನ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಆರ್ ದೋಸ್ ಸಿಂಪ್ಟಮ್ಸ್. Even if he has appeared in a different class, he should be accepted according to those symptoms of classification. Real Aryan means one who is advanced in knowledge and goes by the order of Krishna or God. I repeat, real Aryan means one who is advanced in knowledge and goes by the order of Krishna or God. A devotee Brahman Vaishnava, obviously then, is the highest Aryan. A devotee Brahman Vaishnava, or devotee or a Brahman Vaishnava, is can be called as the highest Aryan in that sense. It's a Brahmana, obviously then. Brahmana means cultured, and it's not just important to be cultured and be a good cultured man. It's important. At the end of the day, we have to become devotees. Okay, so a Brahman Vaishnava is a highest Aryan. So this Aryan word has also been misused, you know, in contemporary society. So I was reading up an article, you know, on Vedabase around Aryans, and it was mentioned that members of a civilization, they defined Aryans in that article, members of a civilization based on spiritual knowledge and culture can be called as Aryans. Members of a civilization that is based on spiritual knowledge and culture are called as Aryans. Though there has to be knowledge, spiritual knowledge, and there has to be spiritual culture. Both have to be there, because culture is practice, right? Now, this term has suffered in history. It has been misused. The word Aryan has been misused. Even in India, various groups are there who pride in calling themselves as Aryan. Why they call themselves as Aryan? Simply to assert their national or racial superiority. They call themselves as Aryans. We are Aryans. Just as a race. Just to assert their superiority. Now we know that one of the global examples of this is the Nazis. Right? The Nazis, what they did, they actually appropriated this title and claimed national and racial superiority for themselves. They didn't do any Brahminical activity anyway. The concentration camps is not a Brahminical activity. Right? But, so, to use the word Aryan based on birth, caste, race itself, to use this is very ironical. That article said it is very ironical. Showing evidence that in fact one is not an Aryan at all. Which means if one says I'm an Aryan by birth, that itself is very ironical. It means that person has not understood what Aryan is. Because one is identifying himself with the material body. When one is making such a statement, when one is making a statement based on caste, creed, birth, etc., one is identifying himself with the material body, thereby a particular race and nation. So one has really forgotten who one really is. So how can such a person be called as Aryan? So it concludes, that article concluded, it's a very short article, that article concluded by saying, despite material power or aristocracy, such a person, far from being an Aryan, is a spiritual cripple. Spiritual cripple. Not to speak of being an Aryan. So this, we saw, you know, Srila Prabhupada's views on what is Aryan. Then we heard a conversation between of Srila Prabhupada in 1975 morning walk, and we also heard from this article, you know, as to how the word Aryan was misused in historically. Now, obviously, when Prabhupada gives these purports, Prabhupada, the intention of Prabhupada, the mood and mission of Prabhupada was to create an Aryan community through ISKCON. Prabhupada said, I want to create first-class people, first-class Brahmanas, I want to create, okay, under whose guidance everything will, uncivilized, what Prabhupada said in one of the, in one of the translation, a misdirected civilization has to be brought back. So, we'll talk about how to develop a Aryan community. You know, from various purports of Srila Prabhupada throughout the Bhagavatam, Varnashrama Dharma is what is Aryan community at the end of the day. That is Prabhupada's prescription for an Aryan community. So, when we understand these dialogues that have happened, these conversations that have happened between Prabhupada and Prabhupada's purport, where he gives various definitions, etc., we understand that Shastras use the word Aryan to denote a genuine Vedic society. That is what is at the end of it. An Aryan community is nothing but a society which is based on the principles of the Vedas. And for the followers of the Vedas, when someone says, "I follow the Vedas," they are actually advancing towards spiritual realization. That is what is a genuine follower of the Vedas. That means, Prabhupada says, Varnashrama Dharma or civilization is meant to take one from the lower modes of material nature gradually to the platform of Krishna Prem. That is what is Varnashrama Dharma, Vedic civilization. So, in that sense, the Aryan social institution is no different from Varnashrama Dharma, which arranges society, as we all know, into 8 groupings. Social order and spiritual order. So, what is the goal? Goal is to take society from the state of being jungly, as Prabhupada said, being uncivilized, okay, from a state of irregulation and anarchy, lawlessness, to take people from a state, from that state, to a state of regulation and harmony in society. To take people gradually from the mode of ignorance to the mode of goodness, which is the platform then for developing the transcendental mode of goodness or Shuddha Sattva. And therefore, if you see Varnashrama Dharma, there will be a lot of rules and regulations that are prescribed there. Because without laws and rules and regulations, it will be impossible to expect such an Aryan community to develop and flourish. So if you have to have some order, there has to be some laws and rules. People cannot say, "No, I have a free will, I can do whatever I want." It's a free society, it's democracy. Right? This democracy still means we have to have responsibility. So we'll discuss some characteristics of a community of Aryans. Some characteristics of how an ideal society should look like, based on the principles that are mentioned in various sections of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, this is something that I have as spoken about before also, even in my Bhakti Vaibhav or in Bhakti Vriksha, sometimes I have spoken this, because what happened was, when I was a student in my doing my MBA, in my business school, I came across what is called as the McKinsey 7S model. I don't know whether I've spoken this before in this class, but we will go a little bit. I use that model often to understand Varnashrama Dharma. It helped me understand Varnashrama Dharma. So even when I speak to my office colleagues about Varnashrama Dharma, it is easy to give them a management model and then probably give them this, rather than saying they will not understand Samasiddhi, Haritoshanam and all that, right? So therefore, I found that this global company, McKinsey, we all know, is the world's best strategic consulting firm. Okay, and it takes lot of material merits to even be considered for an interview with that organization. So when I was in my B school, I happened to study what is called as the McKinsey 7S model for governance of institutions. So what they say is that for a institution to flourish, at the very center, for any institution, for any organization to flourish, and it can be applied even to any industry, it can be applied to. They say at the core of effectiveness of any organization is shared values. If an organization's shared values itself is shaky, then everything is shaky about that particular organization. So they have given 7 S's. The first S is shared values. Then they talk about strategy. They say the strategy must come out of shared values, which makes sense. Whatever, for example, Anirudh Prabhu also has got a strategy meeting many times. He calls annual strategy meeting. But what is in the core of that strategy meeting? How can we realize Srila Prabhupada's mission? That is the core of our strategy meeting. It's not how to make money, like what institutions usually do outside. We are not only a non-profit organization, but we are a non-profit organization with a spiritual mission. That is what differentiates us with the highest philosophy of Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, so those the shared values which are given from the scriptures, which is what? The core shared value? Samasiddhir Haritoshanam. That is our shared value. Whatever we do, we have to always check with that shared value, is it pleasing to the Lord or not? So, shared values. And from shared values comes strategy. So, whatever strategy we do is founded on those shared values. From strategy comes structure. The structure of ISKCON, the way ISKCON is operating today. That comes from our shared values and our strategy. Okay. Sometimes the strategy changes, but the shared value still remains same. For example, a new executive chairman of the GBC may have a different strategy for this year. The focus areas may be different. The priorities will change over time, right? For example, now given COVID-19, there would be, commonsensically I would think, there would be a policy regarding how we can protect the senior leadership in ISKCON, which is so vital. We have already lost a big leader now in His Holiness Bhakti Charu Swami. So therefore strategy will be based still on the shared values. Why? Because these leaders are extremely important to society. These are the Aryans. It is under their leadership that society will flourish. So strategy follows shared values and structure follows strategy. Once structure is decided, then we do staffing, the right people in the right jobs. For example, if you put me in the kitchen, okay, to stir heavy things, you'll throw me out in one day, right? Because I'll goof up something there. That's not something which naturally comes to me, right? So therefore, the right people, or if you put me in that crowd control, we need some real strong people there, like Kripa Siddha Prabhu. If he stands there, people know, I can't mess with this person. He will be tough on me. Like that. You need someone who can stand there, right? So we have devotees with, of course, Kripa Siddha Prabhu is an amazing devotee. So he's got many, many more skills, but I'm talking about one aspect, like that, where I have seen that he's very fair and he's very, tough. So he's the right person, Every Janmashtami I'm seeing him, he coordinates this very nicely. So we need the right people over there who can be assertive at the right points in time to do the right thing, to stand up for doing the right things, like that. Then, so we need the right staffing. Then we need systems and laws. That is another S. Proper systems have to be there. So, Anirudh Prabhu has been promoting a lot of systems. Recently, we had Radha Gopinath Prabhu come here. We wanted to have a devotee care system. That is also being discussed now. A Bhakti Vriksha system we have of cultivation. A youth preaching, system we have here. So, there are systems. And then there are laws. There are do's and don'ts. Otherwise, everything goes against. There will be again chaos. Then, skills. So, McKinsey says that skills have to be there. People have to develop skills. Book distribution is a skill which Prabhuji has very nicely developed. Right? So, isn't it a skill? It is a skill. How to approach someone, what to speak with them, when to put the book in their hand. Different strokes for different folks. Right? So there are techniques. Do's and don'ts also at the same time, be watchful. If the cops come, then it's a skill also. Manmohan Prabhu is is expert in that skill. How to deal if the police come. Right? So we have to develop skills. Okay. So even in the temple we see, we have to develop skills. We have to develop skills of preaching. We have to develop kirtan skills. We have to develop cooking skills. We have to develop deity dressing skills. Everything requires a skill. Right? So then style. They say style of leadership is also very important for effectiveness. Again, what kind of leadership? Same style will not apply to everyone. So we will discuss about few aspects in an Aryan society using this model, 7S model. Okay. So, as I said before, let's talk about shared values. The essence of a Aryan community of Varnashrama Dharma is what shared value? As we said, Samasiddhir Haritoshanam. But essentially, what does it boil down to? Our shared values come from three things: Sambandha Tattva, Abhideya Tattva, and Prayojana Tattva. That is where our shared values come from. Sambandha means Jivera Swarupa Hoy Nityera Krishnadas. That's one shared value. all of us have. The goal of human existence is to attain unalloyed love for the Lord. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yatho bhakti ajokshaji. Hai tukki apratyata yayatma suprasiddhi. So, we know that, our prayojana tattva. Then, abhideya, the process for attaining, and the only process of attaining, that is bhakti. Harer namaiva kevalam kalo nasteva 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 gatiraneta. So, our movement, the core strength or foundation of our entire movement is based on these three principles. Sambandha, abhideya and prayojana. So, any shared value has to have, you know, this is the foundation of all our shared values. Now, varanashrama dharma means some people have to know what are the shared values. They have to be expert at not only understanding the shared values, but also expert at developing others in the community to develop those shared values and to implement those shared values for enabling an effective community. So, this requires intelligence. So, Prabhupada said, the Brahmanas are the intelligent class. Okay, the Brahmanas are the ones who uphold these shared values of Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana in their lives. Plus, these are the people who educate other Varnas also of the shared values. It is the responsibility of the intelligent class. You cannot give it this responsibility to anyone else. They have to uphold this, which means in their personal behavior, as well as in terms of the effectiveness of their preaching, they have to ensure that these values are upheld, because this is the foundation. If this foundation is lost, everything will collapse, because this is the strength. So, now, the so who is a Brahman? Again, Lord says, Chatur Varanam Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Vibhashgashah. So, these classifications are based on natures of people. Guna karma, nature of people, aptitudes of people and inclinations of people, not on birth. Now, therefore, these Brahmanas are people. Who is a Brahman? A Brahman is a person who has possessed certain qualities, and they are described in Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, everywhere. We have studied that. So, Brahman is someone, essentially, if you see a Brahmana, Brahmana will be inclined towards Shastric study, towards Adhyaya, Adhyaya. A Brahmana has to be inclined towards Shastric study, towards performance of sacrifices for the welfare of society. What is that verse? Annad bhavati bhutani paryat parjanyad anna sambhavah. If those sacrifices are not performed, Mother Earth will not produce. If the productivity of Earth goes down, there is no possibility of a harmonious society. Because everyone is going to now start fighting for limited resources. And when a small piece of bread is kept, when two people are standing who have not eaten for 50 days, they are not going to follow Vaishnava etiquette. Prabhuji, you take, no? No. That will be tested. At that time, it will be tested. When there is a life and death, one person is dying and one piece of bread is kept over there, then everything will be tested. All the nature of a human being will be tested at that time. In compelling circumstances. So, a Brahmana ensure that sacrifices are performed so that, you know, Mother Earth produces enough, so that enough is available for all. Because enough is not available for the stomach, then what happens? Sometimes the survival itself is so tough that people who don't have time to think about spirituality. So in Gujarati we have a saying, bhuko pet bhajan nai, bhojan thai, right? Which means when the stomach is empty, we don't do bhajan. We first have to eat, like that. So a Brahmana is one who understands the Shastras, who performs the sacrifices for the welfare of society. So, in that sense, the Brahminical layer defines the moral framework based on which the other Varnas will operate. So, that is the shared values part. Second comes strategy. As I said, strategy comes from shared values. So, the Brahmanas sanction the appointment, key appointments in an Aryan society are sanctioned by the Brahmanas. Who is the next most important person after Brahmana? The king, the Kshatriya, the administrative monarch. Prabhupada said, democracy, demon crazy. So, Prabhupada always recommended what? the monarchy system. But monarchy doesn't mean that we'll have one feudal lord and he can do anything and everyone has to obey. No, hail the feudal. No, that is nonsense, right? So this has to be a responsible person, a self-realized monarch, administrative monarch, so that no rascal is voted by the innocent public. And the Brahmanas have a say in that. Srimad Bhagavatam talks about Vena. When King Vena was there, what happened? Brahmanas, by mantra shakti, they killed him because he was a useless fellow. He didn't know how to deal. Of course, Brahmanas simply tolerated him because there was no king. Better than having no king is having a despot. But obviously, you can't go with a despot for a long time, right? Eventually, you have to either transform him or finish him. So the Vena could not be transformed. So they killed him. So therefore, the Brahmanas, in one sense, maintain the Kshatriya layer. So, now who was these kings? Usually they were Rajarishis. They were trained by the Brahmanas to be a king who governs, administers within the implementation framework that is defined by these Brahmanas. So, it is said that in those kings, the Kshatriya kings were also very well versed in the scriptures, except that they will not do patan patan. But they had to, not patan patan, they will not probably preach, but they should be very well versed with the scriptures, because unless they are well versed with the scriptures, what is the framework, you know, under which they will operate, right? And how will they also, you know, put faith in the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas? They will know, yes, this Brahmana is advising me in deference to the scriptures and not inventing his own philosophy for his personal gain, which is what is happening today. Today the Brahminical layer has fallen. If you go and do a particular ceremony, you don't know whether he is talking, you know, marriage mantras or, you know, death mantra. You don't know. And then they also say, do you want 1 hour or do you want 5 hours? I can do both. They customize it for you. That itself means something has collapsed here. It's user friendly. Whereas a Brahmana will say, you either, you know, do this, this is the vidhi, or don't come to me. Then that is integrity. But everything is, I scratch your back, you scratch my back. You also go back thinking something nice has happened. So therefore, such a king has to also be very well versed in the scriptures. So such a king, then, who is very well, not only is very well versed in the scriptures, but he is also well conversant with the laws of God, with things like the Manu Samhita. So then such a king knows who to protect, when to protect, what kind of decisions to give. They know, because all these are based on the Shastric framework and not based upon, you know, the whims of the judge, if you like. So his strictness, mercy and fairness are all aligned with the scriptures. So Srimad Bhagavatam talks about so many Rajarishis. We have seen Maharaj Yudhishthira, we have seen Maharaj Parikshit, who were all great leaders. Now, one characteristic we see, that they always lead in consultation with the Brahminical layer. They will never lead independent of the Brahminical layer. They will always have a guru. Somebody will be there. Kul guru is there. Somebody is there who they will consult and take decisions. So they define their governance strategy in consultation with their guru. Like that. Now, what is the goal of governance? The goal of governance, or if you like, the vision and mission statement, is based on leading all the entire praja towards God. That should be the vision and mission, right, of society. So example, they will have a defense strategy, they will have a home strategy. Their defense strategy will be what? Based on protecting, paritrayanaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam. So it will be completely aligned with what Lord Krishna's plan is. So they will have a home strategy for ensuring everyone is protected in the community. They will have an economic finance strategy. What is the basis of their economic strategy? Isa avashyam idam sarvam yat kinchaj. Everything animate, inanimate is owned by the Lord. These are all resources belonging to Bhagavan. Therefore, resources have to be used to in his service. All these resources have to be used for the true welfare of society, and not just indiscriminately spending here and there. And Prabhupada says, in opening abattoirs and gambling dens, Prabhupada says. So resources have to be responsibly used. So these people are also very well versed with the Arthashastra, Because Arthashastra is a very important component of Vedas. Arthashastra talks about governance and strategy. Now, one thing these Rajarishis do as a part of their finance strategy or economic strategy is they keep enough funding aside for performance of sacrifices, keeping the Annad Bhavanti Bhutani principle. They keep enough funding for opening temples in society, for devotional activities, right? And for promotion of Sanatana Dharma. Why? Because everyone should be given an opportunity to participate in devotional activities. We saw Maharaj Prataparudra is a very good example of this. We saw Maharaj Prataparudra was very favorable towards, as a king, towards devotees and devotional service. Ramananda Rai, who was the governor, he was sanctioned leave, what is that, leave with pay. Leave without pay itself nowadays is very difficult. He was sanctioned leave with pay. Not annual leave, not sick leave, carer's leave. Devotional leave. Right? He sanctioned. Who? There is no category. You go to any organization, you will not find. Maximum, they'll give you one day. What is that called? As religious, what is that, holiday or something like that. One day they'll give you. Right? If it is Eid or Muharram, you can say, okay, tick, I'm taking leave. Otherwise, you don't get all these leaves. But he sanctioned all that. And therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was refusing to meet this personality. But when we heard this, Ramananda Rai says that he has sanctioned, because of him, I am able to meet you, my dear Lord. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Krivash Krishna Avashya Karibe Angikar. Okay. Because he is very favorable to you, therefore I will give him mercy. So this is the essence of, you know, the thinking of great leaders when they do strategy. Structure and staffing, which follow this strategy. These kings never act on impulse. That is a very important thing. So a king has a structure where he has a clear council of ministers who are also very well versed with the Shastras. They are also Shastric people, not just figureheads, okay, just appointing something. No, we have given them this position because he was the CEO of some financial institution, so we have kept him here, you know, as a figurehead to attract everyone, right? And he has studied in some Columbia University. No, they have to be well versed with the Shastras, the Council of Ministers. And each minister is expert in his portfolio and also scripturally trained. So the king, appointments, the staffing, how does he appoint? Appointments are strictly based on demonstrated capability, not family lineage or age or any other consideration. We see in Mahabharata, this is very evident. Dhritarashtra was, by age, he should have gone in as the king. But no, Maharaj Pandu took it. Because Bhishma was very clear at that time. He's not qualified to sit there. First of all, he is netraheen. You can't. We can, yes, we have empathy, sympathy, everything. But you can't put such a person. You know? He was both materially and spiritually also blind. So his age doesn't matter. Just he being elderly does not matter. He's not qualified to do that particular job. So, the other thing was that, so appointments were based on merit, based on capability of an individual. But again, appointment, mere appointment to a post was not enough also. Aryan culture, society means that the post is seen as a responsibility. A position is a responsibility. In office, if someone says, okay, from tomorrow you are being made, you know, senior director of the company, it doesn't mean that, you know, oh, where is my cabin? How many people can I now, you know, dominate? How many approvals will be in my hand so I can exploit people? People usually think like that. They get a sense of power. No, it's like they, you've seen in movies, no? That hero rotates that chair. Zoom, zoom, zoom. The chair is rotating, you know. The powerful chair. The directors capture that. So that is how it is. You know, when you see the chair, you sense power and authority and control. But position was seen as a responsibility, not as a channel of prestige. So that is one important aspect of Aryan culture. So we see actually in Srimad Bhagavatam, when the Vandis and the Magadis, when they praise, sing songs of Maharaj Prithu as a leader, what does Maharaj Prithu say? He doesn't say, "Aur gai, no, please sing more in my glories." No, he doesn't say that. What does he tell them? Stop. Why are you glorifying me? I have not done anything. Let me do something, then you glorify me. And he's telling the Vandis and Magadis like that. Okay. So therefore, position is seen as responsibility, not as just something where we can increase our prestige. So that is structure and staffing. Then systems and laws. In an Aryan society, systems will aid accountability and transparency. It will, you know exactly, systems are so geared that somebody becomes straight accountable for something. So, and in the past, the leaders were also not afraid to affect such systems and laws. Leaders were bold enough to expose fraudsters in society. Nowadays, what's happening? Of course, the laws are changed to protect the powerful, or to make them, the laws, more user-friendly, so that one can have a higher vote bank. So that is where it is going right now, systems and laws. Even few years back, that day we had the disappearance of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we saw that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a fearless leader. He never bothered. He wanted to implement the law, simple. So he didn't care. Bishak Sen, he was very powerful. Bishak Sen was a very influential person in society. Nobody could touch him. Actually, people, he got away by saying that he is the incarnation of, you know, Mahavishnu. And then his two associates are Brahmaji and Shiv next to him, right? And people believed that because he had some mystic abilities, right? So it was very difficult to touch him. Even the Britishers found it extremely difficult to put him inside jail. So it required a fearless leader who has faith in the Lord and who can enforce the law without fear of any backlash. Though Bhaktivinoda Thakur's children, some black magic he did, by which Bhaktivinoda Thakur's daughter got severely ill, and then Bhaktivinoda Thakur himself developed fever. But he was fearless. He did not compromise. He wanted to deal with him the way the law should deal. So we had, you know, fearless leaders. Not only fearless leaders, but the leaders were fearless and honest also. They were very honest. For example, same Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he did not hesitate when the king of Jagannath Puri, he found that he was misappropriating the funds. Bhaktivinoda Thakur chastised and ensured that he got his punishment. He said, Chappan Bhog, you have to do with all the funds, you know, for a long, long time, like that. So, fearless as well as honest leaders who can establish the right systems and bring in the right accountability, transparency in society. So, nowadays, you know, we see that here, you know, in many, most countries, and here also we see that lawyers are becoming very powerful. Is it because of the power of interpreting the law? No, not necessarily. It is also the power to misinterpret the law for their clients, right? So they are becoming powerful in misrepresentation, tweaking the system, you know, to protect the powerful. I was, my son was doing a project when he was in, uni. He was given a project to, you know, on drugs, you know, on drug enforcement and all that. So we see that, you know, in this world, the drug lords who are, you know, who became very powerful in this world and who created complete disorder in society, they were continuously protected by the politicians. The entire framework was protecting those people. Okay, entire framework, right from the president of the country, was protecting. The leader of security, everybody was compromised. The jailing system, the security, the warden, the down to the constable who was there outside, everybody is compromised. So we have seen some drug lords who have escaped from high security prison not once, but twice, thrice they have escaped. Now how can you escape like that, right? So the whole machinery was working for them. The whole battery of lawyers were protecting them. Recently we saw the case of Jeffrey Epstein in the Age newspaper. Okay, this man was abusing children and teenage girls for years together, but he was so powerful, so influential, right up to the president of the United States at that time. He had everyone in his pocket, literally. So everything was very clear, but nobody would touch him. So that is today's society. This is called as anarchy, nonsense, chaotic society. But so that therefore the leaders have to have integrity, spiritual integrity. The leaders have to be fearless. They have to enforce the laws. So the leaders have to be protective. And here we see the Prachetas are saying, the Lord, we have, what does he say? We have been non-envious of brothers, friends, and anyone else. Okay, so we have been very respectful to the brahmanas, advanced devotees, etc. So Prabhupada says that in a Vedic society, in an Aryan society, we have to protect the cows, we have to protect the elderly, we have to protect the women, we have to protect the children. Time and again, Prabhupada mentions this in the Bhagavatam, in various purports. And strict laws have to be there against animal killing, environment abuse, abuse of the weaker sex. And also, there have to be good systems to protect the aged people. One of the devotees, when he was here from Bombay, our Anandandavan Prabhu's son, you know, had come here, Raghunath. I don't know how many of you met him. He's an expert in deity worship. So he was saying that, you know, he went to an aged care house. I think I told this last time also. So he went to an aged care house and he saw a woman, you know, old a lady, and she was highly stressed and she was weeping. So he asked, what happened? He said that, you know, and it was an excellent aged care facility in which she was taken care of. She said, in this country, what they do is, these whatever aged care homes and all that, they give a proposition to these people who are single, you know, who don't have anyone to care for them, these elderly people. They say that, okay, you mortgage your house, you pledge your house to us, because anyway, what is the use of that big $2 million house in Albert Park when you are alone in that house, right? You don't have even strength to water the gardens, right? And you don't have even money to deploy anyone. So what you do, you pledge the property to us, we'll give you all care for this many years, 20 years they had contracted with this lady, right? And then usually, you know, these people will die in 20 years, right? And after that, the house belongs to us. That is the agreement, right? This lady told him that I am at the 20th year and I am not dying. So next year, I lose even my home and I am going to be homeless. So this is how laws are, right? Policies are, right? Where will she go now? And she's stressed now. She doesn't know what to do. So this is an anarya society. Then systems and laws. We move on from there to skills. An Aryan society ensures development of the necessary skills, not unnecessary skills for society. Skills that are required for advancing peace, harmony, and eventual God consciousness in society. So nowadays we see that lots of energy is wasted in developing useless skills, irrelevant, you know. For example, I was reading about, you know, you type useless skills. So, wine tasting ability. Useless skill to develop. Right? Or they call as gaming industry skills, so that you can get job in, you know, crown, you know, casinos and all that. This is a skill. Certifications are required. Right? These skills people are developing. Or what is that? Computer games, you know, where you keep shooting, you know, people, you get some points and all. Or, you know, there are games where the fellow is racing and police is chasing. And your ability to evade the police is your success in the game. So when you play such games, what will your consciousness be naturally? To look at police as people who have to be avoided. And you have to somehow, you know, smart means to escape these people. And that is how, you know, our teenage children are getting addicted to these kind of games. And through these games, they are developing values, certain values and certain nature they are developing because of this, you know, of disobedience, right? And flouting the law. That is considered as cool. Cool man, I dodged the cop. Cool, I shot him because he came. I ran over this fellow. The games are like that. The fellow will come and you can run over that fellow. And then there's blood all over. And that's a game. The game is being designed like that. Skills are there. Computer engineers are having skills to, you know, show us all these things. A user interface. No. So these are all useless skills taking society in the wrong direction. Even in business, you know, this is of course mode of ignorance, but even mode of passion, you know, I was told once by the organization, you have to develop golf skills. Okay, and then they told me you have to go to Fremont, California. They were going to post me there. But that time, you know, I was doing a Bhakti Vriksha program in Toronto. We already three Bhakti Vrikshas were going on nicely. And His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj and Jayapadaka Maharaj said, don't leave this place. Okay. So then I told my AVP, I said, thank you very much, but no thanks, I'm continuing. And they told me, you will lose your career. You are saying no. I said, no, no means no. I'm not interested. Sorry. Right? And it happened. Someone else, you know, went there. But the fellow who took that position, what happened? He rose three levels above me, very fast. But what happened? Somehow, he lost his daughter. Only daughter. And he's a nervous wreck now. I'm not saying that should have happened necessarily, but I'm saying the material world will give you some allurements, but this world is Dukhalaya Mashashvatam. It will give you something, but somewhere else it will take away something. No, nobody can be happy in the material world just by gaining pride, prestige, you know, and you know, accumulating more and more in terms of wealth, position, power. So nobody is happy in this world. I saw that person was also not happy, who chose a different path, right? So therefore these skills are useless and they waste valuable time and resources of society. So a leader ensures that the right skills are being developed. Also a leader ensures that the right skills are in the right hands also, because the right skill in the wrong hand can also create a problem, right? For example, we saw Dronacharya was very, very clear. I will not take Ekalavya as a student. In India, Ekalavya is glorified, no? And people blame. No, it was not good. No, he was not a good man, Dronacharya. How come? Just because he's poor, and then all the melodrama will happen. Just his caste. Like that, and people will cry. No, Ekalavya was. No. No, because Dronacharya knew at that time itself that the clan which Ekalavya belonged to was favorable to Adharma, was favorable towards the Duryodhana's side. So he knew if I give these skills, he will use it against Dharma, to fight against Dharma. Of course, eventually he himself landed up there. But, right? But at least he used that discretion, that who to teach and who not to teach. Okay, we have to teach people who are under a responsible governance framework, so that they will always be unchecked, that they will not misuse their powers. Okay. So, and Prabhupada also established that kind of organization within ISKCON. We will conclude with that last part now, very soon. Then finally, style. We talked about skills, we'll talk about style. What is the style of leadership? Style of leadership is servant leadership. So a great example of that, which I could remember, is Maharaj Bharat. When Lord Ramchandra was sent to the forest, then he didn't say, oh, now is the opportunity, let me take his position. In office, you abscond for 3 days, 4 vultures will be standing to take your position. Can I do that role when he's on leave? You know, I'll prove my credentials and maybe he can move on and then I can move into his role. Like that. People think like that, right? But he kept the shoes of Lord Ramachandra and he never ever sat on that throne. This is servant leadership. Ruled for the satisfaction of the Lord. So the leader of an Aryan community is one who never forgets that his leadership itself is to serve the mission of the Lord. Through our leadership, we enable an outcome for the Lord. Whatever the Lord's mission, those outcomes we have to enable. And whatever style of management we have to follow towards attaining the outcomes for the Lord, that style we adopt and adapt. Okay, so in that attitude of service, which is a core of shared value of a leader knows when to be authoritarian, when to be an enabling leader, when to be non-directive in your leadership. So they will know that. Why? Because their leadership is based on a comprehensive theological understanding of the Shastras. And that is the quality of a successful leader. So, now, the root, to conclude our class today, the root of such Aryan culture lies in spiritual leadership provided by highly realized saintly personalities who are completely non-envious, nirmat saranam satam, who have no desire to enjoy the material world and who know that the goal of human existence is to take everyone back to Godhead and who have developed themselves this missionary zeal to spread the love of Godhead and who do so in an organized manner, with full integrity and in an organized manner. Srila Prabhupada often cited the success criteria for ISKCON. Prabhupada said is what? Organization and leadership. Effective organization. Prabhupada stressed on that part. That's why if you see, not many spiritual institutions have got the kind of leadership and governance that ISKCON has today. We have an excellent governance system. Even all the sannyasis are under scrutiny by the governing body commission. They are all respected as spiritual leaders, but they cannot do whatever they want. We have a system, very beautiful systems Prabhupada established. Okay, there is a waiting list for everything. Even for sannyasi, there is a sannyasa waiting list. Nobody can just say, oh, I am donning the saffron from tomorrow. No. They will evaluate someone. So that what does that happen? Because these systems are there, the people will eventually get faith in the institution. Because Kali Yuga is an age of quarrel and hypocrisy, right? So Prabhupada gave the success formula for ISKCON's future. So to conclude, in these purports, in this section, we see by their words and actions, the Prachetas are already demonstrating all the values and qualities that would then ensure an exemplary Aryan community under their able leadership. They are demonstrating all these qualities, and Prabhupada then is observing this, and Prabhupada is writing that purport of Aryan. Now, what is the secret of the Prachetas' success? They have personally been coached by the most exalted of all Vaishnavas. Vaishnava nam yatha Shambhu. Lord Shiva themselves, Shiva themselves has coached them. And on top of that, Lord Krishna himself has blessed them to rule. So that is a sure shot recipe for successful social governance or establishing an Aryan community in society. So I'll stop here. It's 9 o'clock. Ask if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Madhuji. Yeah, everything is ordained by the three modes of material nature, but the three modes of material nature don't act independently, no? The three modes of material nature act based on the desires of the conditioned souls. If our desires are doubted in the service of the Lord, three modes of material nature cannot act on us. A soul gets trapped in the three modes of material nature, it comes under the jurisdiction of the three modes of material nature only because of the desire to enjoy separately from the Lord. If we develop Vasudeva consciousness, oneness, alignment with the mission of the Lord, then the three modes of material nature will not act on us. We will still have a supposed material body around us. Prabhupada was also moving around. Prabhupada also had health problems. But obviously, Prabhupada is a Jivan Mukta. He was liberated even when being in this world, completely untouched by the three modes of material nature.
Yeah, but specifically, I was thinking about sometimes the cases where people go to jail for, recently I saw, he went to jail for 30 years, but actually he was innocent, and then after a law for the sentence for life, and after 30 years they found that, okay, he's actually innocent. So things like this have happened. It's true that the idea of Kshatriya mode was not there, that's accepted. But still, when these things come, how could they send him to jail?
So, the basic flaw in this argument is that they sent him to jail. Nobody can send anyone to jail without the Lord's sanction. Okay. So, we tend to take a very narrow view of life. So, we are seeing the karma of that individual in this lifetime and the suffering of that individual in this lifetime. And we think that that suffering has got direct correlation to the karma in this lifetime. That's not necessary, no? We study in Srimad Bhagavatam how karma is carried from even nectar of devotion, bijam, kutam, prarabdham, aprarabdham. We see in that cycle that it is carried from the previous lifetimes. Because in one lifetime, one may not be able to, one may not be able to undergo all the karma for one's activities. For example, there is a difference between a person who committed one murder and a serial killer, right? One murder, still, the punishment has to be different, right? For someone who did 50 murders to one who did one murder. So if someone has done one murder, then he has to be given capital punishment. But how many times can you give capital punishment in one lifetime? Once. What about the remaining 49? So even if that person in the next lifetime is apparently, not doing anything wrong, he has to still suffer because there are 49 other families whose curse he has got. Who are suffering because of this man's actions. So in this lifetime, it may be possible he didn't do anything, but his karma will eventually catch up with him. But as devotees, we should not worry about people's karmas. Prabhupada said, don't worry about karma. Prabhupada said, worry about how you can now go back, exit this material world and go back to Godhead. Yes, from a narrow point of view, we may say material world is imperfect. And it is, in one sense. But the imperfection of this material world is the perfect design of the Lord. It is meant to be like Arikshnabu. Okay. Thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shila Prabhupada ki jai.